Some questions. Here's one from Murli Manohar Das. Sometimes devotees chant during class. They do. Their hand is in their bead bag and they're either softly murmuring or chanting in the mind. Is it an aparad to both the holy name and the speaker of the class? Yes, it is. Or should this be tolerated because it depends upon the advancement of both parties, i.e. the person chanting and the person giving class? There is a story of the wife of Lord Nityananda who, being on a very exalted platform of Krishna consciousness, spontaneously chanted at all times, even during class. One time the speaker was greatly offended and spoke many unpleasant words to her. Because of this aparad, he fell down and eventually became a mayavadi. So if someone is advanced, a sakti bhava and beyond, are they at liberty to chant at all times, even during class? Or can devotees in general chant during class as long as it does not cause a disturbance? Just a correction on the, this is not Lord Nityananda's wife, but this is Krishna Priya Dasi, who is a resident of Radhakund, and the event occurred with the Rupa Kaviraj named scholar, but that event is correct. No, devotees shouldn't chant their japa during class. It's not a time for chanting japa. One should learn how to listen very carefully. Shraddharidyavarudyate atakritibhishushushvishtakshanat. Bhagavatam says as soon as one attentively hears Bhagavatam. So, yes, someone who's very spiritually advanced, they may spontaneously be chanting Hare Krishna at all times and simultaneously listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. But even the advanced devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement wouldn't do that because it doesn't set an example for others. Srila Prabhupada didn't do that. But rather, Bhagavatam class is a time for careful and attentive hearing, and japa is a time for careful, attentive chanting of Hare Krishna. Devotees, either advanced or especially otherwise, shouldn't do that. Advanced devotees won't do it, and other devotees shouldn't do it. And certainly, devotees should not chant japa in class as long as it's not causing a disturbance. It is a disturbance. It's offensive to the speaker. It's offensive to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's offensive to the holy name. Everything has its time and place, and even though one may say that it's not offensive, even if it isn't offensive, and it's happening spontaneously, but still, hearing is what should be done in Bhagavatam class. There's no instance anywhere in Srimad Bhagavatam that Parikshit Maharaj or anyone else was chanting japa, but everyone was listening very attentively, and that's the way we should do that. Arjuna was listening to Krishna, he wasn't chanting japa. Yamuna Devi Dasi, this is a question on behalf of my son Kavi Chandra. He wanted to know, why is it okay to wear tulsi neck beads in the bathroom, yet one should not take the same tulsi into the bathroom in the form of japa beads? And since it is not okay to take japa beads into the bathroom, is it offensive to sing or chant the holy names when bathing? These are very good questions. Kavi Chandra is very intelligent. The essence of the answer is that different items and different practice items of devotional service, used for devotional service, and different practices of devotional service have different applications, which have been established by acharyas and by shastra. The example of stool. Stool is contaminated, but the stool of a cow is pure. Bone is contaminating, but conch shell is pure. Similarly, tulsi is always pure. And when tulsi is worn around the neck in the form of an ornament for the sake of purification, it can be taken into the bathroom. But when Tulsi Devi is part of puja or worship of Krishna, then it should not be taken into the bathroom in the form of japa beads, just as one would not take the deity of the Lord into the bathroom, because that type of handling of Tulsi Devi is meant to be done under pure circumstances. Similarly, although the deity and the holy name are done different, in the form of the Murti, Krishna should not be taken into the bathroom. In the form of the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Tatrapita Niyamita Smaranina Kala, these types of rules and regulations don't apply, so that one can chant the Hare Krishna mantra and take Radha and Krishna in the form of the mantra into the bathroom. For the Hare Krishna mantra, it's all right. For the Gayatri mantra, again, it's not. There, one should be bathed clean in a sanctified place while chanting, because those are the vidhi connected to the mantra. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Tatrapita Niyamita, there's no yam niyam, there's no rules and regulations in regards to chanting this mantra. So we will see that similar things, Tulsi, the holy name, stool, bone, according to different circumstances, different rules apply, and we should see the essence of these things being that one follows Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatri Kividi Vidhana. That is what establishes whether something is correct or incorrect, not limited logic of conditioned souls. Very good question. Atmarama Das, I have read your book about Guru Tattva and ISKCON. Can you please speak about how to increase my faith in my spiritual master? Faith in Vaishnava's spiritual master is increased through hearing from them and through association. Of course, the fact that one has accepted a spiritual master means that he must already have faith in that person. But naturally, just as our faith in Krishna in the process of devotional service and in our spiritual master is meant to deepen, broaden, in the same way our faith with our spiritual master will do so in the same way, by rendering service to him, by hearing from him, by associating closely. Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvashastra. It's the sadhusanga which is the essence of things. And then, of course, by accepting service or being executing one's prescribed duty in the Krishna consciousness movement, and doing that as an offering to one's spiritual master, a devotee will naturally be meditating upon one's guru in the same way that we do when we chant Gayatri Mantra. And as while chanting the Gayatri Mantra, one is thinking, Tanu Guru Prachodhayat, yes, let me be enthused, let my faith increase by meditating on my spiritual master as someone who is giving great pleasure to Krishna through his devotional service, through my offering this devotional service to him. Krishna becomes very pleased, and when Krishna is pleased, then naturally Prachodhayat, there is a awakening, Udhaya, of enthusiasm, of faith. So a Vaishnava meditates like that. Yasya Srisandhyam Dhyam Stuvam Stasya Yasya Srisandhyam. At least three times a day, Srila Prabhupada translated, I should be meditating upon my spiritual master. A last one. My name is Chelio, and I'm a new devotee. I met the devotees 2 years ago, and I've been chanting, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha since then. I wanted to ask your opinion on other gurus outside of ISKCON. It's one of those. More specifically, Narayan Maharaj, I'm inspired by a lot of different Vaishnavas and spiritual masters, especially by your work. I'm reading Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, but at the same time, I'm very inspired by Narayan Maharaj. I read some of his books as well, especially the ones related with Srila Prabhupada. It makes me sad to see that some devotees change their relationship with me just because I have an attraction for Narayan Maharaj. I honor and respect all the gurus in ISKCON as well as other gurus in different branches of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I try not to engage in negative talks about this or that guru because I think I've understood the concept of Vaishnava Parad. Can you please speak about this? I've spoken about this before, and It's obviously a question that's often recurring because devotees are often in a very similar circumstance. And that circumstance is that they're coming in contact with other Vaishnavas outside of the ISKCON organization, hearing from them, meeting them, and some faith develops. All right, so what to do? Yes. Amanina Madarina Kirtaniya Sadahari. We should offer respects to everyone. What to speak of non-devotees? We offer respect to Vaishnavas, and senior Vaishnavas, and Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are members of the Saraswat family. There's no question of not offering respect. The question is how that respect should be offered. Should that respect be offered from close or from a distance? The GBC and of course Srila Prabhupada had instructed devotees that they should keep a respectful distance from his god brothers and members of Gaudiya Math for various reasons, which I don't think I need to go into here, but Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that. We should be respectful, but respectful from a distance. Why? Because it's Prabhupada's order, Prabhupada's instruction. Interestingly enough, I came across a quote from Bhaktisandarbha in my writings and studies recently, and I'll read it because I've been keeping it close at hand. It says the following. Jiva Goswami writes, "It is good to serve other Vaishnavas when the service is ordered by one's spiritual master and when it does not create an impediment to the service of one's spiritual master. If one acts otherwise, he is at fault." Srinarda explains this in the following words, quote, "He attains misfortune who worships someone else in the presence of his spiritual master. His worship becomes fruitless." So, Srila Prabhupada, in his mature Krishna consciousness, saw that although it wasn't his original intent, but it came out in many dealings, which are really history in ISKCON, that ISKCON devotees' service to other Vaishnavas became an impediment to his service. It became an impediment to the proper functioning of ISKCON. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, as Jiva Goswami here has stated, he stopped that type of association. What happens if devotees do so otherwise? He says, if one acts otherwise, he is at fault. In other words, it is a defect to do so. So this is a rule of thumb for members of ISKCON. Respect all Vaishnavas, but respect from a distance, so that the respect that you show, and if you're in too much of a close proximity, that doesn't become an impediment, which repeatedly, over and over again, it does, to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And that's what it means to be a Prabhupadanuga, to follow Srila Prabhupada. Certainly, it's an unfortunate situation when devotees get into criticism or argument as a result of this about other Vaishnavas, passing judgment about other Vaishnavas, be it Narayan Raj or other members of Gaudiya Math. We should not go there. And that then also becomes one of the impediments to ISKCON, and of course it's also vice versa. It's not a one-way street, but the gurus, GBC of our institution, become objects of criticism by others. And that's why, because Srila Prabhupada says, but don't associate with them too closely. So no question of respect, but if I can beg to differ here a little with Bhakta Silio, who says, I've understood the concept of Vaishnava Aparad. I think you need to review that in light of what your primary obligation is to Srila Prabhupada, and make sure that we're not at fault in our service and allegiance to Srila Prabhupada. But by all means, respect all Vaishnavas, but learn how different types of Vaishnavas should be respected. Respect is one word, but there are different types of respect which apply to different devotees. Hare Krishna.